Fire rescue, EMS, law enforcement. These are the three components of public safety, and those who answer the call are the first responders. Welcome to another episode of Five Alarm Task Force with your host, Steve Green. Five Alarm Task Force presents some of the best instructors, leaders, and mentors in public safety today to educate, elucidate, and entertain. No topic is out of bounds, and every opinion has value. Five Alarm Task Force is brought to you by Five Alarm Task Force Corp. One family, one mission. First responders helping each other. And our sponsors, Insight Training LLC, your best bet for fire service tick training. The Firehouse Tribune, where you can expand your horizons in emergency services and learn to work hard, stay safe, and live inspired. And we're proud to welcome as a full sponsor, LifeScan Wellness Centers, saving the lives of America's heroes. And our promotional partners, Chief Miller Products and Sites, Responder Wipes, uniquely formulated wipes for first responders to reduce the risk, Nestor Bars, the amazing new hand tool for the fire service, EFT Corporation, 40 plus years of innovation in donation and payment processing solutions, 911lifestyle.com, first responder burnout prevention and improved health. The Firefighter Cancer Foundation, fighting to extinguish firefighter cancer since 2004. The Firefighter Cancer Support Network, the Albemarle Sweet Shop, the North Florida Fire Expo, and the Great Florida Fire School. Remember, our ultimate goal is for you to be safe and return home after every call. So insert those earphones or turn up those speakers. The Five Alarm Task Force is being dispatched right now.
Hello and welcome to this special episode of Five Alarm Task Force. I'm your host, Steve Green. Happy to be with you and happy to have you with us. This is a panel podcast, and my guests on this episode are going to be Chief John Butler, Jessica Pickett, Kevin Roach, and Commissioner Adam Teal, all who were at the Wingspread 7 conference in Wisconsin this past August, and we'll be discussing some of the issues, topics, and discussions carried during that time. If you enjoy this webcast or this audio podcast, you can find more of them on our website. The videos are all on our YouTube channel at the numeral 5-Alarm Task Force Corp. And on our website at 5alarmtaskforcecorp.org, you can go to our podcast page and have over 170 of our audio podcasts available to listen to. While you're on the website, please don't forget to sign up for our newsletter. It comes out about 4 or 5 times a week. We just sent one out last week. We have another one coming up towards the end of the year. We don't send spam. We don't give away or sell your email addresses. We protect them under the tenets of the law. And should you ever wish to unsubscribe, all you have to do is just send us an email to dalmattprod@outlook.com. And just type unsubscribe in the subject line and we'll remove you from the listing. Those of you who like us on Facebook, we like you too. And thanks for being a friend of ours on Facebook. The numbers keep growing and we are trying to get back there as quickly as we can. But we appreciate every single one of you and thanks for the invitations and thanks for the likes. Also, on many of the audio platforms that you listen to these podcasts on, there is a way for you to leave a review. Now, most people just want to get into listening or don't want to say anything, but it's very important for podcasters that you do leave a review. Why? Because many of these platforms have an algorithm where the reviews, the number of reviews and or positive reviews are part of where you'll wind up on a search for the podcast, for your podcast. So, for example, someone's looking for Five Alarm Task Force. If we don't have a lot of reviews, we're going to be very low in the search results. Whereas if we have good reviews and a lot of reviews, even if they're 3-star reviews or 2-star reviews, but as long as there are a number of reviews, we'll come up higher in the results. So it's important. And if you like our podcast, we hope you just take a minute or two to leave a quick review and help us with that. And if you enjoy the show and want a piece of the prize, well, you'll be able to get that. We still have some t-shirts available in our store, limited availability in sizes. I think we have about 13 or 14 shirts left. Just go to our website, 5alarmtaskforcecorp.org. Go to the store, purchase right there. That purchase is through PayPal, by the way. And if they charge you shipping, please know that we will give you a check to return that amount of shipping because our cost now for each shirt includes shipping from our offices. So no worries there. All right, so that's about it in our business side. We're going to be right back with this panel discussion on this very special episode of Five Alarm Task Force right after these words. As always, please stay tuned.
New technology for the fire service seems to appear almost every day, and that technology demands a learning curve, especially if we're talking about thermal imaging cameras. That's where Insight Fire Training LLC is your best bet. With an excellent reputation across the U.S., Insight Fire Training will meet all your TIC training needs. Their curriculum is peer-reviewed and has been used internationally. Their instructors are Level 1 Thermography Certified, and they have taught in 33 states and 4 countries. Their courses run from introductory to training the trainers. Courses are available online, for the classroom, classroom hybrid, and even live fire. Insight Training LLC is proficient in over 40 thermal imaging cameras, so you feel confident they will know your make and model. Best of all, programs are customized to your specific needs, and their cadre of fire service veterans are vetted craftsmen of Project Kill the Flashover. They are so proficient that they have trained TIC manufacturers on how to best use and sell their own product. That's Insight Fire Training, LLC. Look them up on InsightTrainingLLC.com. Your best bet for TIC training.
Would you like to meet up with Andy and the team from Insight Training, LLC? Well, here's part of their upcoming calendar. October 23rd. From 0800 to 1700 hours, instructor Andy Starnes and Tim Mills will be providing live fire thermal imaging training on their new FLIR K53 TICs. This event is hosted by Idlewild Volunteer Fire Department at 10241 Idlewild Road, Matthews, North Carolina, 28105. Contact Assistant Chief Chris Michelle for details. October 25th through the 29th at the FIERO PPE Symposium in Greenville, South Carolina. Insight founder Andy Starnes will be at the FIERO conference in Greenville, South Carolina from October 25th through the 29th. He will offer 2 4-hour classroom hybrid training courses, along with Max Firebox, a TED talk at the lecture hall, and Insight Training will have a booth at the show this year. Coming up, November 17th through the 19th, Carolina Fire Days Conference in Charlotte, North Carolina. Insight Training will be at Carolina Fire Days in North Carolina for a lecture classroom session, followed by 2 days of live fire training on November 17th through the 19th. Now, remember, please be sure to check out their website, InsightTrainingLLC.com, or their Facebook page for registration and additional details. Remember, Insight Fire Training LLC, your best bet for fire service TIC training.
The Firehouse Tribune, where inspiration was forged by those who came before us, opening the doors for us to build a path. A path to share our mission with the rest of the emergency service world. With a small, tight-knit team of first responders dedicated to sharing experiences and knowledge, we constantly strive to provide our followers with thought-provoking content from all aspects of emergency services and life. Our contributors speak at top fire and EMS conferences in the country. They have been guests on numerous fire service podcasts and will even come and speak at your firehouse or event. Interested? Visit their website, www.thefirehousetribune.com. And find them on Facebook using the Firehouse Tribune and on Twitter at FH Tribune and on Instagram, FH Tribune. We live by one motto, not just in emergency services, but in life as well. Excellence is a habit, not a goal. We look forward to hearing from you soon. Until next time, work hard, stay safe, and live inspired.
We're firefighters. We're law enforcement. Like everyone else, we have our aches and pains, sometimes from the job and sometimes not. We realize there are risks with this job. However, sometimes something is wrong with us and we don't know it. Now what do we do? Well, LifeScan Wellness Centers are dedicated to saving America's heroes. For most fire and police organizations, LifeScan Wellness Centers will send one of their mobile teams to assess every member of your department with complete and complex physical exams and blood work. Using state-of-the-art medical equipment, LifeScan staff members provide a multi-procedural exam, including cardiac stress tests, basic lab results, and ultrasound exams. LifeScan wellness exams have saved the lives of dozens of firefighters and police officers across the country. They have found tumors, aortic bulges, lung problems, and more, many of which were asymptomatic. However, early detection allowed most of these colleagues to have their personal medical professionals mitigate the health issue that otherwise might have led to a darker time. For more information, please visit their website at lifescanwellness.com. Remember, LifeScan Wellness Centers, saving the lives of America's heroes. Hello, and welcome back to this very special episode of Five Alarm Task Force. I'm your host, Steve Green. Happy to be with you and happy to have you with us. We have a very special podcast today because this is kind of like a little bit off the mark of what we normally do. And we are very lucky to have an esteemed panel who recently attended the Wingspread 7 conference in Wisconsin this past August. Now, some of you may know that we were very much involved with the report on Wingspread 6, thanks to our good friends. And we must shout out to Chief Rubin and Chief Varner for putting this panel together for me to announce the results of some of the results of the conference of Wingspread 7. Normally, it had been a 10-year cycle, and I guess under consideration of the pandemic and other matters affecting all the agencies that come together at Wingspread conferences, that they moved to a 5-year. Our first guest is Kevin Roach. He is a Facets partner. He retired in 2014 as assistant to the fire chief of the Phoenix Fire Department in Arizona. Kevin has over 30 years fire service management and consulting experience. He has experience as a leader and member of a number of management consulting projects in large fire departments. During his career in Phoenix, he managed the fire department's planning, fire prevention, and logistics operations. Kevin earned a BS degree in fire protection and safety engineering technology from Oklahoma State University and a master's degree in political science with a certificate in public administration from the University of Florida. Kevin, it's a pleasure to welcome you to the show, and thank you very much.
Hey, thank you for the welcome. An impressive resume, huh? Nice.
Very
well,
nice.
Good afternoon. So I guess what I've been asked to do is talk a little bit about the background of Wingspread. Wingspread's actually almost as old as I am. The first time it was held was in 1966. What Wingspread does is it brings together a group, a very diverse group of fire service experts and people that have concerns about public safety, just to look over the horizon and think about where the fire service is headed, what sort of challenges the fire service is going to face in the future, try and provide some information and some guidance on those issues. As was said in the introduction, we just completed Wingspread 7. The report's actually being formulated now. And I've been asked to talk a little bit about Chief Brunicini's involvement in Wingspread. He heard about Wingspread quite early, maybe Wingspread 2 or Wingspread 3, and was very interested in planning and looking toward the future. Those of you who know or have read about Chief Brunicini know that he was always looking over the horizon, sometimes way over the horizon, if you work with him. Chief Brunicini became interested in Wingspread. I think he attended his first meeting and was told, hey, kid, just sit in the corner, keep your mouth shut, and just listen. And then he actually became a big supporter of Wingspread and actually attended, I think, 4, 5, and 6 also, or managed the proceedings for 4, 5, and 6. So in a nutshell, Wingspread is forward-looking statements over the horizon, trying to prepare the fire service for the future. And I think it's striking when you see the report for Wingspread 7, I know that Jessica's including the statements of national significance from all the other prior Wingspreads. And it's interesting to look at Wingspread 1 and see that some of those issues are still very, very relevant today. And hopefully the Wingspread 7 document provides the fire service with a view over the horizon to look at what's coming in the future and what's affecting the fire service today.
Thank you, Kevin. What other agencies, I'll just ask you before we move on, what other agencies besides the fire service and EMS are brought into this conference?
So it's mostly fire service people and very, very a wide range of fire service people. There are municipal fire chiefs, wildland fire chiefs and fire officers. The Firefighters Union has been involved in the past. Insurance providers for the fire service. The editors of fire service journals and magazines that are out there. Industry organizations that have an interest in fire protection, such as the National Fire Sprinkler Association. And as I said, the editors of some of the magazines, also other organizations like the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation that has an interest in preventing firefighter fatalities primarily. So it's a very wide range, but it is somewhat fire service centric. Something that's new, relatively new in the last few years, is also some of the researchers that are doing work in the fire service space as well. They're also asked to join and join into the last version, Wingspread 7.
Great, great. Thank you. Thank you very much, Kevin. Really appreciate that introduction for our listeners and our viewers. Our next speaker is Jessica T. Pickett. She's the founder and CEO of RPM Solutions Group, Inc., CEO and executive director of FIERO, which many of you I've heard already through social media and emails will be attending. She was an all-hazards lieutenant, retired from Fairfax County Fire and Rescue Department. Prior to founding her consulting firm, RPM Solutions Group, Inc., Jessica worked in diverse settings that range from BSL-3 research laboratories to the West Wing of the White House. Her company, RPM Solutions Group, is a consultancy firm that serves the project management needs of public and private sector entities. Her work with RPM covers diverse projects ranging from development of training programs and strategic planning for departments and agencies across the U.S. and Canada, conducting research, development, and market analysis, and building bridges through public-private partnerships. She hopes to help break down silos between public safety, emergency management, and public health to improve services and response to community needs. Jessica, welcome to the program. Happy to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. Very, very happy to be here.
So from your side, what did you bring and what did you take from the new Wingspread 7 conference, please?
Well, I was very honored to be part of Wingspread 7, and I am part of the writing team. So during the process, we had over 32 individuals, as Kevin said, that were both geographically distributed from across the country and across from different sectors of the industry and the fire service that all came together, and they were broken up into four groups. And these work groups went rotated and really focused and looked at some of the challenging topics that the fire service is actually facing now. And that included things like recruitment and retention, diversity, equity, inclusion, wildland fire challenges, structural firefighting challenges, members' needs, the changing mission of the fire service. Because when Wingspread first started, compared to where we are now, the mission of the fire service has greatly expanded. We also looked at community risk reduction and the federal fire focus, as well as looking at the incident command system and how do we operate with other agencies and make sure that we're doing it as efficiently as possible. So these were all just topics that were given to these work groups to talk about, to think about, and it was a framework, but it wasn't a structural framework. They were allowed to sort of explore other issues and other topics as well. These work groups reconvened and they reported back on some of the areas where they felt the fire service has the greatest national needs. So as part of the writing team, we take all of this information from the work groups, we synthesize it, and we start to develop these statements of national significance. And as Kevin alluded to, Wingspread 7, and I actually have a copy of Wingspread 6 right here, so it'll be looking similar to this. And Wingspread 7 will include all of the statements of national significance from the prior reports, as well as the statements of national significance that have been developed by these work groups and this think tank, as well as providing background information. And it is our hope that this report will be distributed widely, will be read by members of Congress, by municipalities, so that they can truly understand that the fire service is critical infrastructure for the country and needs to be supported as such.
You bring up a great point, which is that back at Wingspread 1, which was probably, I was around already by Wingspread 1, because I'm the old guy here in this group. We were a fire service that occasionally had a rescue company, and we responded to that, or we co-responded with an ambulance service. We're no longer that for most of us. We are basically doing probably 85% of our call, 80 to 85% of calls are EMS calls, and the rest are fire. And of course, what's burning today is a lot different than what was burning in my day in the mid 70s and early 80s. There are a lot of things that I'm sure it came up, which are very important to our listeners and viewers, especially in the fire service. We just finished our webinar at the end of August on PFAS in the future, that we can look ahead to a safer and healthier future with the changes that are forthcoming, because that's taken a really big toll emotionally on firefighters. I mean, I've had Dr. Peasley on a couple of times, and you know, when he did his results that showed that he found in new gear dating back to 77, that's the year I started. Now, I've gone through two scares already, and I'm in a third one right now for over a year, this mystery malady. But every time I talk with my doctors about it, I said, okay, you have to realize that I've been exposed to PFAS for 8 years before I got injured and I had the ability, wasn't able to serve in active service anymore. Also, was the pandemic a key topic at the conference this year?
We definitely talked about the pandemic, the impact that it had both on the systems as well as on, you know, our supply chain issues, and looking forward, how can we mitigate some of those challenges that we faced during these, you know, this ongoing challenge that we're continuing to face.
Right.
So that definitely was looked at. And we're really looking at these issues, again, getting the perspective from members from departments of various sizes, industry experts, researchers who are dedicated to studying the fire service. And we're collating all of this information to develop these statements of needs so that we can have overarching goals that can benefit the fire service as a whole.
Right. And in a positive tilt to to social media and our trades, trade magazines, we saw that once again, the fire service, even with their EMS side, stepped up and overcame the challenges. They rigged the whole backs of the rigs with plastic and then tore it down after each one, redid it again, did everything they possibly could innovatively before, again, as you said, a supply chain really developed. They did this on their own. So many of our departments across the country did this to help protect the patients they have to transport and to protect our members who were answering those calls no matter what. And I think that's something we need to call out. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break here. If you're watching the video, you're not going to see any changes. If you listen to the audio, you know what's going to happen. We're going to be right back right after these words. So as always, please stay tuned.
Welcome to Chief Miller. Chief Miller operates the largest social media page dedicated to the men and women of the fire service from around the world. Check him out on Instagram at Chief_Miller. Find him on Twitter at Chief_Miller. And check out the website where you can find Chief Miller Apparel at ChiefMillerApparel.com.
The tone sounds and the dispatcher announces, Stations 14 and 16, working residential structure. And that was all you needed to hear. You jump up from your chair, head to the engine, and climb into the jump seat. As the cue screams, you take stock of your PPE. Bunker pants, check. Turnout coat, check. Hood, check. Gloves, check. Escape line, check. SCBA strapped on, you're ready. Upon arrival, you jump off the apparatus, grab the loops of the Red Cross lay, and head for the open front door, where smoke is pouring out. You make sure your buddy is behind you. Crouch low and make your way inside, your trusty SCBA mask hanging on your tool belt. What? Stop everything! What the hell are you thinking? You see, it's a working room and contents fire, and the smoke is banking down almost to the floor. Who do you think you are, Superman? One breath of that crap and the smoke will damage you in some way, guaranteed. All the soot, carbon, carcinogens, and other outgassing materials will enter your body through the pores on your unprotected face. Don't be the domino, the first person down, that forces everyone else to change their tasks to take care of you. Always remember, face piece on. You have comrades depending on you and a family to go to. Face peace on.
You show up for your shift, but you're not feeling 100%. You greet your colleagues with a smile, but just can't put your finger on it. I'll shake it off in an hour, you think to yourself. You take a couple of nothing runs, but you're still not feeling any better when you get back to the barn. You throw some cold water on your face and think, yeah, that's more like it. And you head back to the day room. With training scheduled for after lunch, you make yourself comfortable in one of the recliners, but as you sit there, you feel ill. You start to sweat, and you feel nauseous.
There's a pain in your left arm that you've never had before. "Hey, guys," you call out. I'm not feeling well." And your voice trails, your eyes close, and the darkness surrounds you. More firefighters die from cardiovascular health issues than any other reason. Don't let self-pride get in the way of taking care of yourself. See your doctor on a regular basis, and be sure to advise him or her that you're a firefighter. Don't be a statistic. Be a healthy firefighter with a long career. For more information, visit the IAFF, NVFC, or IAFC SHS websites.
It just slows me down.
It's too hard to do it and put my gear on.
I'm not comfortable.
I'm a big guy. I can't do it.
I'm just not comfortable wearing it.
You gotta be kidding me. Real firefighters don't need them.
Come on. There's no way I can wear my SCBA and my seatbelt at the same time.
Yes, we've heard all the excuses, but we can think of at least one good reason why you should buckle up. Can't you? Be a hero to those who mean the most to you. Buckle up. A message from the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation.
Hello and welcome back to this episode of Five Alum Task Force. I'm your host, Steve Green. And we have, thanks to our dear friends, Chief Rubin and Chief Varner, we have quite a panel here of our guests who are talking about the Wingspread 7 conference. With us today is Chief John Butler from Fairfax County, Virginia, Jessica Pickett from her company, FRM, RPM Solutions Group, Kevin Roach, who was very involved with the Phoenix Fire Department. And if you're a firefighter, I don't know if you're a firefighter more than 25 or 30 years old, you know the Phoenix Fire Department, and you know who its leader was and who led us and taught us the great news about what we do, how we serve Mrs. Smith. And if you don't know who Mrs. Smith is, you better go to an officer in your department and find out the story about Mrs. Smith, because you really can't be a great firefighter in this country without knowing the story of Mrs. Smith. And Commissioner Adam Teal from the City of Philadelphia will be joining us in just a moment. Right now, it's my pleasure to introduce Chief John S. Butler. He's been fire chief of Fairfax County, Virginia, Fire and Rescue since September 2018. He formerly served as the first internal fire chief for Howard County, Maryland, Department of Fire and Rescue Services, and was the first chief to have held every rank within that department. He is an active paramedic and holds a bachelor's degree from the University of Baltimore, a master's degree from Johns Hopkins University, and certificates from Harvard University, the National Fire Academy Executive Fire Officer Program, the Fire Service Executive Development Institute. Chief Butler serves as the International Association of Fire Chiefs' second vice president on the board of directors, holds the Chief Fire Officer, Chief EMS Officer, Chief Training Officer, and Fire Marshal designations awarded from the Commission on Professional Credentialing, is a member of the National Fire Academy Board of Visitors, is a board member of the Metropolitan Fire Chiefs Association, and is a commissioner with the Commission of Fire Accreditation International. He is a retired U.S. Marine with 20 years of active and reserve service, including two combat tours. Chief Butler, it's a pleasure to welcome you to the show, and thank you for your service to our country. There he is. Okay, we're back.
Had a little
glitch.
Please, there.
That's okay.
Well, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
So, what was your role at Wingspread 7? Did you have a role? Did you go as more of a visitor? Let me see about it and see what it gives me for me to bring home to my guys and gals. What was it for you, sir?
Well, that's a good question. There's a life cycle, an evolution of what happened with me and Wingspread. Probably a year before we were in person at Wingspread, Chief Rubin reached out, invited me, talked a little bit about it. He had me at yes as soon as he invited me, because I would do anything for Dennis. But I should have done a little bit of homework. I said yes and moved on. I'll be there. Tell me when, where, and when I should be wearing, if you will. And then I did some homework later and found out the gravity of what I had just been invited to, and humbled and honored. Throughout the time we were in Wisconsin at Wingspread, I literally maybe every hour or two, pinch myself and said, what am I doing here? This room's full of smart people. What, you know, I need to go back and, you know, and do what I do. But it was a reality check. And as Jessica said, how we got to consensus on a number of statements of need was magical. It was really impressive. I'd never seen something, you know, work like that before, a structure where there were breakouts, and we would conclude and get back and do the grading and the vetting out and come up to some consensus. It's a pretty impressive process.
And what topics did you feel were most important for you to bring back to Fairfax County?
Okay, so the short answer is all of them. The overarching theme, you know, that I continue to resonate with is there is no 911. You know, there's us, and the need from the community continues to grow. We don't have the luxury to tell Mrs. Smith, you know, thanks but no thanks, we're not coming, or you're in the queue. We just don't do that. We go fast, and we get there, and we do our best to be nice and treat Mrs. Smith and get out of her living room, you know. So, sure. To your question, there was not a topic that doesn't play out on the streets of any community, Fairfax County or elsewhere. There was nothing too you know, eclectic and, you know, on the outer. Outliers were all important.
All right. And would you say that the conference itself, and this is what I've heard when I had the report from Wingspread 6, is probably one of the most, while we have these big national conferences that the trades, you know, put on and are wonderful. I've been to both of them. Would you say that the Wingspread Conference rises a little bit above that because of its tight focus on specifically this, our industry, who we are and what we do and what we need to do and what we may need to do that we don't even know about yet?
So, you know, you refer to it as a conference and, you know, without disagreeing, I saw very little, if any, similarity to any conference, to your point, to the point right. You're making.
Sure.
You know, there's a handful of us. We, you know, I forget the number, how many of us were there in that room, but it was super small in the grand scheme of things. And I'll tell you another phenomenon. After the 2 or 3 days we were there, I got back on that airplane and I was exhausted. I was intellectually and mentally drained, which is a converse from some conferences I go to. There was a lot of brain work. There were a lot of, you know, synapses happening in that room amongst our group. And we got closer. Some of us knew each other before, and others were meeting for the first time. Some of the magic was the community, the fire service community is bigger than, you know, the first responder on the nozzle. And there were a lot of partners and advocates and allies of the fire service in that space, and could be brought a lot of contribution and value to the cohort.
Right. Well, that's good to hear. In my professional career, when I wasn't a volunteer firefighter, in my professional career, I attended many national and regional conferences. And there were, like you said, there were only a couple you can walk away from and saying, I'm pleasantly exhausted and full, because yep. I really got to learn from them. And I think, yes. You know, we are on the, our industry is on the cusp of change every moment of the day. We don't know what that next alarm is going to require from us. We prepare the best of our ability. We have our departments, et cetera, but we have to, part of our fulfilling our oath of protecting life and property means sometimes we have to throw something together to make it work.
Sure.
It may not be, we might not have a vehicle specialized for that, but we're going to find a way to do that task because that's who we are and it's what we do. And sure. I think what you also said about the meeting others is the fact that I, having traveled around the country, even after I was out of the active fire service, but I've visited firehouses all over the country. I will have to say that outside of my Boston roots, the second area was the greater Philadelphia area, because we have family outside of the city. Actually, our older daughter lived there for 5 years in Manayunk. Know that little station down there on the street, just below her apartment, where she loved living in that neighborhood. And we were thrilled that she was in a great neighborhood there like Manayunk. And the one thing is this family that we are. We are a family. And we can mm-hmm. go to any firehouse in this country. And I've been in Israel. I've been in London. All I did was knock on the door, show them my badge. Come on in. And I found that wherever I've been, and I think that's unique, that we can go, whether it's a small conference, a national conference, or we're just going to visit on vacation. And we say, I want to see that firehouse. Or I want to go to that firehouse that emergency used, the R.A. Senator Memorial House on out in L.A. They still welcome you with open arms because we're part of the family. Yes, Chief.
No, you know, it's a good point. I was having a conversation with someone yesterday, a consultant outside of the fire service, and she referred to our industry also as a family, and I agree. Well, we have to live that identity. We can't just say it. Right. We actually live it in a human dignity manner. And we touched on that. Well, we didn't touch on it. We spent a lot of time on diversity, equity, and inclusion and belonging. I learned from Jessica about the addition of belonging to the DEI grouping of letters that expresses the climate and that we should be aiming for. So that was very interesting that we talked as much as we did about DEI and belonging. Because it's to some extent, it kind of goes back to Bruno. I mean, you know, be nice. You know, that's kind of the epicenter, and Mrs. Smith. And sometimes we do really well with Mrs. Smith, you know, or others in the community who, you know, many might look down on, you know, the homeless, vagrant, or the, you know, whatever social judging that occurs. We treat our patients and our customers well in the U.S. fire service. We do a really good job at it globally, nationally. And then sometimes we go in the firehouse and we don't do that well, right? You know, so I submit and I challenge the U.S. fire service. If we're going to use the words we're family, then don't just say it, you know, be it,
live it,
you know,
right. Right.
Steve, may I add?
Sure.
I think your point on family, the Johnson Foundation actually hosted this meeting at their facility in Racine, Wisconsin, and it's a beautiful place. The staff there is the epitome of customer service. It gave everyone the opportunity to be together during the sessions and after hours, and we were actually able to share a meal with the Racine Fire Department at their main fire station, and they opened their arms to us as well. I want to shout out to Chief Butler for his input on DEI issues, and his personal experience in Fairfax and elsewhere was really helpful with us. And then the last thing I'll say on family is that it used to be on every fire truck and ambulance in Phoenix, we had a sticker that said, "Our family helping your family." But Chief Brunicini suggested we change it to "Our dysfunctional family helping your dysfunctional family."
that's cute. Very apropos. When we created our nonprofit last year in the middle of the pandemic, Five Alarm Task Force Corp, it just has one. Our motto came out to be, we had for you us discussed it, one family, one mission, first responders helping each other. We just sent a big check up to Dunlin Fire Department in New Jersey. He had three alarm fire in their firehouse last Wednesday, and one of my members of the board, volunteer members, Nick Higgins, who's the co-founder and editor of the Firehouse Tribune, is on our board, and Andy Starnes, almost everybody knows Battalion Andy, Battalion Chief Andy Starnes. And if you have anything to do with a tick, and I don't mean one that bites you in the woods, Andy is the go-to person for that. And they're on the board. And we, every time we see an issue that affects our brother or sister and or their family, we go into action. You know, we're young, but just a year old this month, and we've donated already close to $3,000 to several fire departments. And the rest of it, most of it went to the families of brothers that we lost in the last 8 months, making the ultimate sacrifice. So you're absolutely right. That's our goal as well, is to give, to raise the funds. And that's what we do with our webinars. And folks, by the way, for you listening and viewing, we've just scheduled our last webinar for 2021. It's going to be December 9th at 6:30 p.m. Tickets will go on sale November 1st. And the topic is situational awareness, responding to emergencies on active roadways. We know the toll that this has taken on us. Greater Philadelphia, we lost firefighter Boyd's just a month ago, 6 weeks ago, in a tragic accident. Here in Florida, thank God, Lieutenant Ashley White is recovering. She's in rehab. You know, but this distracted driver or entitled driver has taken a toll on first responders all over this country. And that includes our tow truck, our recovery operators, and our road rangers as well. And so our guests are going to be Dr. Richard Gassaway, whose specialty is situational awareness. It's going to be Deputy Chief Ron Tennant from Grand Rapids, Michigan, who has been involved in blockers and attenuators attached to blockers for over a decade. I just learned about this issue 3 years ago, and he's been in it for over a decade using attenuators. And also we have both Jack Sullivan and Todd Leese from respondersafety.com. So they'll be our speakers at this. So there is no topic in the fire service that we can actually simply answer with a nod or brush it to the side. Because as all of you have said so far, everything that you discussed at the conference is something that can be taken home and used not only in your departments, but shared with your areas and your regional groups. Thank you very much, Chief Butler. That was great information. I love when you talk about family. I'm in the midst of writing an article about the concept of family in the fire service. Our next guest is Commissioner Adam Thiel. Is it pronounced Thiel or with a TH, sir? I just want to be sure I'm saying it correctly.
It's Thiel, but it I is. Never correct people, so it's all good, Steve.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Adam Thiel. He's the Fire Commissioner and OEM Director of City of Philadelphia. In May 2016, Mayor James Kenney appointed the chief to serve as the 20th Fire Commissioner for the City of Philadelphia. Commissioner Thiel is responsible for leading the Philadelphia Fire Department's almost 3,000 plus members in every facet of protecting our nation's fifth largest city from fires and emergencies arising from all hazards. The commissioner also serves as director of the Philadelphia Office of Emergency Management. From 2014 to 2016, he was a deputy secretary of public safety and homeland security for the Commonwealth of Virginia. In that role, he helped provide strategic direction, policy advice, management oversight, and operational coordination for 11 agencies with an overall budget of more than $3.1 billion, that's billion with a B, and 30,000 employees. Deputy Secretary Thiel was directly responsible for the departments of emergency management, fire programs, including the State Fire Marshal's Office, Military Affairs, the Virginia Army Air National Guard, and State Police, along with the state's Homeland Security and Resilience portfolio. He has a much greater bio here, folks, but I want to give him a chance and get back into the conference. Commissioner, what can you share with us from your experience there and what you brought home and what you brought to it as well?
Steve, thank you for not reading all of that. A couple of points to expand on, I think. My colleagues have done a great job giving an overview of Wingspread. Some folks might be wondering at this point about the name and what is this Wingspread. It's both a place and an idea or an ideal. Wingspread is the facility that is owned and operated by the Johnson Foundation, which is the family, the Johnson, SC Johnson Corporation, as Kevin mentioned. It's also the core building is actually an historic property that was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, among right there in the complex. So it's actually a very small, the actual conference facility only holds like 36 people. So that is it's a limiting factor. That's a deliberate limiting factor for Wingspread. You have to apply actually to be able to go to the Wingspread facility to use the name, and it for the fire and emergency services to have that opportunity is actually a really big deal. And that opportunity, of course, started back in the 60s. Definitely have to give a shout out to Chief Rubin and Bruce, Chief Bruce Varner as well, for working with Bruno to get the fire and emergency services back to Wingspread and making that application. We had the opportunity to meet with the president of the Johnson Foundation, Marcus White, while we were there. And he was actually involved in the proceedings. He sat in the back of the room. He had meals with us and was really engaged. And I think, he's relatively new to the Johnson Foundation. He was very impressed by the scope and the breadth of our work in the fire and emergency services. Like most folks, it's not something that people think about every day. Right. We think about it because it's our business. Mrs. Smith isn't thinking about the need to call 911, isn't thinking about what it's going to take for us to come and provide that compassionate, caring, and of course, most importantly, competent service. So we really had the opportunity, I think, to show the Wingspread leadership what the fire and emergency services is all about. And actually, we've already been invited back for the next conference in 5 years. So we're all going to save our energy. It's an exhausting process. The process is ongoing with the writing team that Jessica's leading, along with Chief Rubin and Chief Varner. And I think what you're going to see reflected in the Wingspread report is the scope and the breadth of what we talked about and the challenges and opportunities that are facing the U.S. Fire and Emergency Services today. Really, the whole gamut. These are not ready for prime time, but I think you might see some statements of national significance around diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. And I want to foot stomp that. I think that is at the absolute core of everything we do for our citizens, residents, businesses, and visitors, as well as for our internal customers who are so important, as Chief Butler mentioned before. I think you'll see some talk about the fact that fire is still a problem in the United States. EMS is a large percentage of what we do. There are other folks who do EMS. There's only one number that you call anywhere in the country for fire protection, and that's the fire department. Here in Philadelphia, we operate the busiest ambulance in the United States. About 80% of what we do by volume is EMS. We're the second busiest fire department in the United States. A lot of that is still, unfortunately and tragically, fires. And you can see those dots on the map. So far this year, we've lost 25 Philadelphia residents in fires. We've had more than 150 injured, and we've had 1,600 people displaced from their homes in Philadelphia. And that's in the 21st century. It's shocking. It's preventable with engineering, education, enforcement, and of course, the great work that our folks do all around the country responding to fires. So it really is an and proposition. And looking at everything that we're doing, wildland is a huge issue, not here in Philadelphia, but wildland is a huge issue, not just in the U.S., but around the globe. Mm-hmm. And I think another thing we're talking about with Wingspread is how do we make sure this is located in the broader international context? Certainly looking at EMS and expanding EMS into the public health space. Jessica, very passionate about this. Dr. Jim Augustine, who many of you might know, another one of the presenters along with Chief Butler at Wingspread, and an incredible vision for how we can expand our involvement out into communities, front-loading care. And it's another thing we see here in Philadelphia. We have neighborhoods that are essentially cut off from the broader healthcare system. We are their lifeline. How can we do a better job of that up front? And I know they're doing things in Fairfax County and Baltimore. A lot of the folks who are represented there at Wingspread. Funding, we know that's an issue at the federal, state, and local level. So you might see some talk about that. The use of technology and data. We had some incredible folks, Dr. Lori Moore-Merrill, Sarah Janke, talking about data and research. That was, you know, really impactful presentation. Bill Genoway talking about the use of technology. I don't want to miss any of our great presenters, but I think that kind of tees up the scope that you can expect when this report comes out, hopefully soon. You know, we're aiming for towards the end of the year to have this out. And as Jessica mentioned, it's really intended for a broad audience, not just the U.S. Fire and Emergency Services. We're hoping to get this into the halls of Congress to help open eyes and educate folks about what we do and our needs. The fire service still receives a fraction of the federal funding that other disciplines receive. And that's really something that we, you know, that's an opportunity to, for us to educate 24/7, 365, just as we respond to emergencies 24/7, 365.
That's all key issues. And I think that, especially EMS, I'm glad you mentioned that, because we know that there are communities, Fairfax County, Baltimore, DC, have started programs. There are a couple of programs going on in California now that are a little bit privatized, but they're still trying to work with the EMS to not require an ambulance or a rescue respond on every single call, and other ways of tiering that EMS, which will take a lot of pressure off some of the departments that are really like Philadelphia. And I can only speak directly to Philly and Boston because the only two areas I know well, but you know, I've been there. I see what those two cities are like. And the EMS calls, I take my radio with me wherever I go just to listen in. And it's just amazing. And of course we're you know, we're not, that doesn't even count, you know, Fire Department of New York and how busy they are in LA County and LA City. But we're all, again, as we said earlier, we're all a family. And these are problems, not problems. There are challenges. We have to look at them as challenges, not problems. There are challenges, just like we do on a call. We get on the call and we do a size up. And wait a second. This is not what the phone call said. This was not what we got. Doesn't mean we just pack up and go home. It just means we have to say, okay, how do we work through this challenge? How do we serve the public, take care of the need, and go home safe and sound to our station, or and to our homes and our families? And that's the most important thing, that we meet the needs and yet, for the most part, stay as safe as we can to it. I read the Wingspread 6 report after Chief Rubens shared it with me after it was published. And folks, I'll tell you, it is not light reading. This is not something you take to the beach and just lie in the sand and read it. But I will tell you, even been out of the active fire service longer than most of you are in it now, and not by choice, but just how it happened, I learned so much from that report about America and the American fire service and what the challenges we were looking towards and what we're facing. And yet everything we're doing to get even better. You know, right now we got these new hybrid engines coming out from a couple of manufacturers. Amazing that we can cut down the thought of, we don't need no stinking primal vents anymore because we're not running any diesel inside the building anymore. That's going to take us another long way. That, you know, yes, it's a heavier investment up front, maybe, but think of the savings and the health, positive health repercussions something like that can bring to the fire service. And I think a lot of our members don't know that. They don't see that happening. They see an ad in a trade and electric fire engineer, like that's ever going to work. Well, if you read the information about it, you can see that not only can it, but it is already working. We have several on site now in departments. And, you know, of course, the number one issue, I'm sure this was brought up, although we didn't mention now, is firefighter health, wellness, fitness for duty, as well as the cancer and behavioral health initiatives. You know, we just lost a firefighter to her own hand the other day in the station. We need to let our members know that there is always a place to turn. On our website, we homepage, when you scroll down, you can text badge to 741-741. We have that right there. There are a lot of agencies out there for our people, for all first responders, fire, rescue, and EMS, and police. But we want to put something out there to let them know that there's something, there's somebody there on the other end of that text who will help you and talk with you and connect with you before you do something that you or others may regret. And if, and I think that the DEI information is so important today. It's because of who, our whole makeup of who we serve has changed over the last 25 to 30 years. And we have to, so if we can change our way of delivery to help that group, why aren't we doing it? Chief Butler, as you said, we need to do the same thing and bring it home to the, to our stations. We have to be able to do the same thing. We can't have political, racial, gender turmoil in our departments. We come to this job, whether again, career, volunteer, part pay, WUI, we come for one reason. There's a passion in our heart. There's a calling that we feel. I mean, I never intended to be a firefighter. I was planning to be a rabbi. And that's it. That was my job, work in a synagogue and be a rabbi. The next thing I know, I wound up in Greensboro, North Carolina, as the director of a school, a religious school, and right half a mile down the street from my apartment in the county, I was just over the city line, was a volunteer fire department. I went in there to see big red trucks like I did all over New England and Philly and New York. Next thing I knew, I walked out with an application in my hand. And I said, the worst thing about this, I got to talk to my wife about it. And I did. And she said, you want to give it a try? Do it. And I, in 8 years, I loved it. And it still defines me, who I am. And that's who we all are. I don't think there's a firefighter who's active service, retired or disabled out, who doesn't feel that they define themselves as a firefighter, as part of who they are as a person. For me, you know, I'm a man of God, a man of family, an educator, and I'm a firefighter.
And Steve, I think you're, what you're saying about your journey is important. And it's something that, you know, we talked about at length. And again, you might see some more about this, and you see it reflected in Chief Butler's resume or Jessica's resume. And again, they're both of their bios undersell everything that they've done. I think the point is, we really do, as individuals in the fire and emergency services, need to ensure that we understand and are savvy to all of the different perspectives, all of the different lenses, that we're able to put ourselves in other folks' shoes, and that we have that kind of true, really scope of knowledge and experience, training and education. You know, for me, 90% of what I do really has very little to do with fire and EMS per se. It's working at a different level, at the policy level, kind of speaking the language of economics, sometimes sociology, public health. And I think also, as you mentioned, the fact that we have to do a better job of taking care of each other and respecting each other, that is a safety issue. That is the core safety issue. If the folks that we work with are not safe around the kitchen table, how can we possibly expect to be able to go out there and put ourselves in harm's way together on our worst day? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And I, you know, I've seen it done very well in a lot of places. I also know it's an opportunity space for us to continue to do work. And that's going to really help keep ourselves safe, developing that trust, understanding that the core of, you know, belonging is at the core of teamwork. Teamwork is at the core of what we do, and we have to focus more on that. And again, I think you'll see we're all very strident about this. You know, I think you'll see that reflected in the report.
I believe we will as well. And, you know, I think another good friend of the show, Commissioner Jared Renshaw, recently published an article about what it takes when you become a chief officer of a relatively large department. And as you said, Commissioner, that it's not day-to-day fire and EMS. It's you become a policymaker. You have to plan the budget, you have everything like that. It changes the scope of what maybe a small department sees the chief doing. And when you're in a major metropolitan community, that changes the scope. And that changes not only that, but it reinforces your dedication to the people that you're caring for. And I think that's what our members have to understand, that they may be in a department where they don't see the chief every day or the commissioner every day. They once in a while, he or she will come by on a quick tour and stuff like that. But they need to know that that leader is with them, has their backs 24/7. And I think once we get that message out and they understand it, I think that's going to also help build a better and more dedicated familial core to the men and women who so unselfishly serve this country.
Yeah, you know, I want to stay here real quick and kind of dovetail off of what the both of you have said with regard to the role of the Five Bugle fire chief or commissioner and or commissioner. And we really need to continue to build our bench and build a posse and build folks who can take our jobs, per se. We the Five Bugle chiefs and commissioners should be looking outward and seeking opportunities to bring back to our ecosystem. There are a lot of partners in the community. Days of the fire chief, navigating through the department and spending a lot of time in the department, they're still valuable. There's still a lot of utility in that. And need, you still need to go and get off the balcony and get on the dance floor, right. But don't sleep on what we should be doing and seeking more funding, more opportunities. A couple of weeks ago in front of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, I am advocating for USAR and the USAR system and more funding. Building on what we've already received from the federal government, that trickles downstream all the way to our fire stations and our members, or speaking on behalf of our partners in the WUI environment. Just because we're in some of these built up high density communities, let's not forget about our partners and the climate, and that the climate, as in literal climate changes that's affecting WUI, Wildland fires, and the fire season continues to grow. We need to get at the 30,000 foot level and talk about AFG and SAFER. All that said, I go back to there's still a need and expectation to go on the dance floor and engage with the rank and file. But being able to wear those two hats, kind of building on what Commissioner Teal said, and you did too. So.
Thank you, Chief. Any other comments to close with?
Just going to say those topics that Commissioner Teal and Chief Butler were just touching on, just as a teaser, definitely were discussed at extensively at Wingspread, and will probably be reflected in some of the statements that you will be seeing when the report is released.
That's great. And I look forward to reading the report when it's released. I would recommend to all our viewers and listeners, if you are in the fire service, make sure that you stay tuned and notified for the release. We'll carry it here as well on the show, let you know about it, and read it, because, it's fun to read the trades and read the ads, and you read a little training manual for this or that. This is going to be more of a training manual for your life in the fire service. This is what it's going to talk about. And it's going to, I believe, based on what we've heard today, that it's going to be a guide for the next 5 years of what we're looking to do as a service, what we're looking to do for the public that we serve, and what we're going to do for our members who, again, unselfishly serve in a role that very few people are ready to step into. We're a unique breed. And we thank the heavens that a lot of us were created to do this job and to help other people. Thank you all very much. Our guests have been Chief John Butler, Jessica Pickett, Kevin Roach, and Commissioner Adam Teal, who are all at the Wingspread Conference, Wingspread 7. I'm pretty sure they'll probably be at Wingspread 8 in 5 years down the line.
God willing.
Right. And I just want to thank you all. I know you all have very busy schedules, and I sincerely appreciate your time and your wisdom, sharing your wisdom and your experience at the Wingspread Conference with us, with our listeners and our viewers.
Thank you for this opportunity, Steve.
It's been our pleasure.
Thanks folks, very much.
Thank you. Folks, that'll be the end of the video. If you're listening to the audio, We'll be back with a few messages right after this break. But those of you watching the video, thank you very much. I'm glad to have you. We'll see you again very soon. Take care. You're listening to Five Alarm Task Force.
Remember when you were a young boy or girl and someone bullied or teased you? Where do you most often turn? Like many of us, you turn to your family. If you're a first responder, you probably no longer worry about those childhood problems. But there are plenty more that can affect us. Lack of sleep, the tragedy and horror we often see, even life's everyday stumbling blocks, like family illness, money, job problems, and more. So where do you turn now? Your gut reaction might be to keep it to yourself and not tell anyone about the hell you're going through. However, that's not going to help you or anyone else. Instead, you could start with your second family, someone you work with at the firehouse, on the ambulance, or at the station. You spend a lot of time with them, and most of them understand many of the problems you're dealing with. Reach out to a coworker or an officer you trust. Speak to clergy at your house of worship, or contact your SISM team. Don't keep it inside, gnawing away at you. That's not good for you or anyone around you. Know that there are people who stand ready to listen to you and help you without passing judgment. Remember, to carry out your oath to protect life and property, the first life you have to care for is your own. Brought to you by Five Alarm Task Force, along with the Critical Incident Stress Management Team in your area, close by and confidential. In October of 2020, in the midst of the pandemic, we launched our new nonprofit company, Five Alarm Task Force Corp. Our motto is One Family, One Mission, First Responders Helping Each Other. Our goal? To assist our brothers and sisters in need. Since our launch, we have disbursed financial support to firefighters and/or their families to assist them in their trying times. We are committed to continuing our mission, but to do so, we need your help. It's great to have you listening or viewing our podcasts, not just in the USA, but around the world. Between Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, we have more than 5,000 followers and friends. Show your support. Donate $10 to help responders that have real needs. Just $10 to aid a brother or sister firefighter. If half of those listening to this podcast donate $10, that's $25,000 from this one request. Imagine what we could do to help our brother and sister firefighters, as well as those in EMS and law enforcement. If you are in public safety, you know of what we speak. We love the jobs we do, and we do them to answer the call we received to be firefighters, paramedics, police officers, and other emergency responders. But in fulfilling our tasks, we see tragedy, not only for those we serve, but those who serve with us. You can help. Visit our website at FiveAlarmTaskForceCorp.org and select Donate from the top menu. Donate $10. You can use a credit or debit card, a check, or an ACH transfer. By the same token, if you have a genuine need resulting from your commitment to public safety, click on the Help Me tab found under the Donate button. One family, one mission. First responders helping each other. From the entire team at Five Alarm Task Force Corp, thank you. Be safe and stay well.
Hi, this is Steve. First of all, I want to thank our guests today for their time and sharing their wisdom with us, their experience at the Wingspread Conference, Chief John Butler from Fairfax County Fire in Virginia, Ms. Jessica Pickett from RPM Solutions Group, Inc., Kevin Roach from Facets and also formerly working with the Phoenix Fire Department, and Commissioner Adam Teal, the fire commissioner in Philadelphia. They shared a lot of information with us today. And one of the most important things that we can have as a takeaway is that the fire department, the fire service in and of itself, is always in a state of evolution and development. We can't just sit back and stay where we were 25, 30, maybe not even 10 years ago. We know that we live in a post 9/11 world. We've learned a lot of lessons from that. But things are still changing. Even after 9/11, we never saw a pandemic in our future. But we do have surprises that come up. We can't be ready for every single development that happens. But knowing that we are and we have leadership who is ready to lead us down new ways and new developments, new technology is coming out constantly. Look what we're doing with drones today. There are more new technological developments, and pretty soon we hope to have our good friend, Chief Charles Werner, the Executive Director of Drone Responders, back with us to talk about some of those new and dramatic changes in the technology for the fire service. We always have to remember that we as firefighters, all of us, have to be open to change and to learning. We've talked about this before, how important learning is, and sharing and teaching those who come up behind us. Nevertheless, each of us has the obligation from our oath to protect lives and property, to always be willing to learn something new, a new tactic, new facts, new ways of doing this, new ways of doing that, new equipment, etc. Be open. Be willing to say, will this allow me to do my job in a more professional and a more productive manner? We do that basically in every other aspect of our lives. Why wouldn't we be doing it in the job that we love in the fire service? So I think we take away from the Wingspreads this concept of the constant evolution development of the fire service. We're changing to meet the needs of the people that we protect and the communities that we protect. You've heard a lot of those reports today. And if you dedicate yourself to, number one, hopefully reading the report when it comes out by the end of the year on Wingspread 7, and also learning from it and taking the messages, sharing these messages, if you've watched the webcast or listened to this podcast, take the messages back to your department. Find out if others have listened to it or watched it or know anything about the Wingspread 7 conference or any of the Wingspread conferences for that matter, and share what you've learned with them from this particular podcast or webcast, because that's the way we're going to continue to be able to grow our fire service. We're going to be able to educate our fire service, help them learn, help them experience, and help keep them more safe to the best of our abilities. That's what's important. And that is my view.
We're really glad to have you listening to Five Alarm Task Force, but we also want you to know there's some other terrific fire service podcasts available. Here's the short list. Cammon Radio with Lieutenant Jason Liska. B-Shifter with Chief John Vance. The Professional Brotherhood with Chief Brian Soller. Flow and Vent. BAR, Brotherhood Academy Radio with Nick Hilton and crew. DTFF, Down to Fight Fire, British Columbia Volunteers. SA Matters, Situational Awareness Matters with Chief Richard Gassaway. Jump Seat Radio with Captain Ryan Pennington. Pin the Cue. Drone Responders. Make Do with Captain Nick Pepperd and Sean Duffy. Thin Red Line with Battalion Chief John Hayowick. Fire Rescue Show. Average Jake Firefighter. Fit to Fight Fire. Remember, to be a great firefighter, you must be always willing to learn. This message is brought to you by 5 Alarm Task Force Corp. One mission, one family. First responders helping each other.
Every year, over 1 million fires burn in America. Fortunately, firefighters are on the job, saving life and property, and you can be a part of it. 7 out of 10 firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Your community needs you. Are you ready to answer the call? Learn more and find local volunteer opportunities at makemeafirefighter.org.
And that wraps this special episode of 5 Alarm Task Force, brought to you by 5 Alarm Task Force Corp. One family, one mission, first responders helping each other. would like to thank our guests, Chief John Butler of Fairfax County, Virginia, Jessica Pickett of RPM Solutions Group Incorporated, Kevin Roach, Facets Partner, and Commissioner Adam Teal of the Philadelphia Fire Department for joining us to discuss the recent Wingspread 7 conference. Did you know you can find us and subscribe to us on all the top podcast platforms? Just search for 5 Alarm Task Force. We also want to thank our sponsors, Insight Training LLC, the Firehouse Tribune, and LifeScan Wellness Centers, as well as our promotional partners, Chief Miller Products and Sites, Responder Wipes, Nestor Bars, the EFT Corporation, 911lifestyle.com, the Firefighter Cancer Foundation, the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, the Albemarle Sweet Shop, the North Florida Fire Expo, and the Great Florida Fire School. If you would like to be a guest with us or have a suggestion for a show, please drop us a line to info@5-alarmtaskforcecorp.org. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at 5alarmtaskforce, on Facebook at facebook.com/5AAFTFXT, and on YouTube, please subscribe to our channel, the 5-alarmtaskforcecorp. Stay up to date with all the news about our podcasts, our new nonprofit foundation, and our blog on our website, www.5-alarmtaskforcecorp.org. I'm Steve Green. Until next time, stay safe, stay well, and let's make sure everyone goes home.